the virgin birth, the suffering, death of our Lord and Savior on the cruel cross of Calvary, the atoning blood of Jesus the Christ shed in His death, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior and His second coming are fundamental pillars of Christianity. When the resurrection of Christ is proven true, which of course it is, it establishes that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Therefore, God is, and the Holy Bible can be accepted as the Word of God. Now, modernists have attacked the fundamentals of Christianity since the days of old Corinth, especially the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. The resurrection of Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, needs to be preached. And therefore, this Lord's Day, we want to do just that, as we want to cover in a number of Sundays a verse-by-verse study of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But this morning, we want to expose the theories and arguments of the infidels and the modernists. As we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And so we'll begin our study of the resurrection of Jesus the Christ in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, that is, Preparing for Eternity. And all of us need to be doing just that. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and then as we assemble together to worship God, we're going to strive to have a proper attitude and also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. Thus, in spirit and in truth, as we see in John 4:24. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else we want to mention, we're always glad to answer your Bible questions that you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. And if you would like to get together for a Bible study, yes, we would be very appreciative of that opportunity. So just let us know when it's convenient for you. So, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. If you miss one of the radio sermons, you can certainly go to the website and listen to them. Just click the sermon that you want to select. And also our bulletins articles are there as well, and news about our congregation. So, with that said, let's now get into our study concerning the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, that is, of course, our Lord and Savior. And as we said earlier, we want to start out by exposing the theories and arguments of the infidels and the modernists. Yes, and we're going to notice some things, first of all, that we can agree on. Christians and many infidels can agree on these facts. Number one, that a man named Jesus lived, as time is based on before Christ, B.C., and after the birth of Christ, A.D. Most would agree to that. Number two, that he arose to great heights of prominence, especially among the common people. That's something else that we could agree on. Number three, that he was crucified on a Roman cross and was thought to be dead when he was taken down. Number four, that he was buried in the new tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Number five, that a great stone was laid at the mouth of the tomb. Number six, that the seal of the Roman governor was affixed to the stone. Number seven, that 15 to 60 men, depending on the number of those Roman guards in a watch, who were stationed around the tomb. There would have been at least 15, possibly up to 60. Number eight, that sometime after the third morning, the body of Jesus disappeared. Number nine, that his disciples came to believe with unshakable confidence that their Lord had been risen from the tomb by the power of God. So these are things that we can agree on, even with many infidels that are honest with what is recorded in history. And that's secular history, not just in the Bible. So here is the point of contention, and that's the missing body between Christians and infidels and modern skeptics, modernistic skeptics, better to say, yes, disagree concerning the missing body of Jesus Christ. Now, some have tried to account for the resurrection by claiming the disciples and the followers of Christ had delusions. And this is what is called the visional theory or the delusional theory. Well, let's talk about this for a moment. What is the possibility of over 500 people hallucinating at one time? You know, and what about Paul years later, seeing the Christ? Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? 1 Corinthians 9:1. And notice with me 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 6 through 9, and again, beginning the next Lord's Day, if the Lord tarries in his coming, we plan to begin a study of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But notice with me now verses 6 through 9. Excuse me. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Some had died. And of course, they were Christians because they had fallen asleep. That term was only used with those who were faithful in the Lord. Verse 7, and after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. That would be the apostle Paul. For I am the least of the apostles that am now meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. So we see, yes, over 500 people would not be hallucinating all at the same time. That is just not feasible. It's, in fact, an impossibility for that many people at the same time. So the theory fails to answer, though, what happened to the body? Notice with me Matthew 28, 1 through 6. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. That's right. And you can study Mark's account, chapter 16, 1 through 8, Luke's account, chapter 24, 1 through 3, John's account, chapter 20, 1 through 10. So that theory has evaporated. That's a delusional theory, isn't it? So we've answered that one and exposed it. Now here's another theory that has been offered, and it's termed the swoon theory, which states that Jesus came out of the tomb by his own power because he only appeared to be dead but had only swooned. Now let's remember that Jesus had been scourged, nailed to the cross, his side pierced by the Roman soldier's spear, and he had been in the tomb Friday evening through Sunday morning before the tomb was opened, John 19. Pilate made sure that Jesus was dead before turning over the body to Joseph, Mark 15. Let's notice verse 42 now through 46. And now when the eve was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and called unto him the centurion. He asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph, and he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in the sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. Pilate made sure that Jesus was dead before turning over the body to Joseph. Now, let's ask this question. How could Jesus remove the great stone in his so-called weakened condition and not be seen by the Roman guards, and then be able to convince his disciples that he had been raised from the dead? That's impossible. Jesus lost a lot of blood, and he was dead already when the Roman soldier pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And so he brake not his legs, as the prophecy said. Not a bone would be broken. You see, this is impossible. And we have now exposed the swoon theory. Now, here's another answer they want to give to explain the empty tomb. And this is really ludicrous. I don't know how anybody would believe this, but this is what some have said, that the enemies of Jesus stole the body. Well, what would be their motive, since they were the ones who had the Roman guards stationed at the tomb? Let's notice Matthew 27, 62 through 66. Now, the next day that followed a day of the preparation, the chief priest and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver, they're calling our Lord and Savior a deceiver, God in the flesh. Oh, how tragic was that. But let us go on. Sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, After 3 days, I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. And say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. See what he's saying, Pilate? He wants them to make that sepulcher sure, because the disciples could come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he's risen from the dead. He doesn't want that to happen. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way and make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So, how in the world can anybody believe that the enemies of Jesus stole the body? Had they stolen the body, they could have put the apostles to shame on the day of Pentecost by producing the body of Christ. That would have been the end of Christianity. That hadn't even been named yet. Followers of Christ were first called Christians at Antioch after the church had begun. So you see, here is a ludicrous theory that we've exposed. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Remember in Acts 2:32, Peter and the other apostles preaching the gospel of Christ on the day the church began there in Jerusalem, the day of Pentecost. So we've exposed that false theory. Now, the next theory of what happened to the body of Christ, the enemies testified that the disciples stole the body. This is the oldest, and this is the best they can come up with explanation to be offered by these unbelievers. Now we go to Matthew 28. Notice with me verses 11 through 15. Now when they were going, behold, some of the going... I'm sorry, let's start over. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. In other words, they were witnesses. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Notice that. All these men on guard are going to be asleep, you see. Well, that's what they were to say anyway. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Well, it's still being said even until this day, in August of 2022. And so let's notice and ask this. Is this a reasonable argument? So what about the testimony of the Roman guards? Could all 15 of them, if you take the lowest amount, certainly 60 would be the highest, and think about all those men sleeping at one time. And if that were the case, then they would have been tried for a crime, and the penalty would have been death, sleeping on your watch. And besides, the Roman guard was changed every 6 hours. And if the disciples actually stole the body, as these unbelievers claim, why weren't they called in to be questioned and forced to produce the body? Well, we all know the answer, because they didn't do it. They didn't steal the body from the tomb of our Lord and Savior. when Christ was arrested, the disciples fled and were not to be found at the trial except for Peter and John. Go with me to John chapter 18, and we'll see here. Chapter 18, let's notice verses 15 and 16. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, that would be John. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. You see, they were the only two there at the trial. The others had fled. And we know Peter denied Jesus three times. Well, let's ask this. Why would the apostles live a lie unto their death? If they had been the ones to steal the body, they knew then that it wasn't true that Jesus was the Christ and raised from the dead by the power of God. And it would all be a lie. If they were the ones that stole the body, what would they have possibly gained? And they were all put to death for the Lord's cause, with the exception of John, who died of old age. So that's a good question to ask these unbelievers. The tomb where Jesus was buried was empty because of the power of God. That's the answer. And we have exposed all these theories, all the explanations, as sorry as they are, to try to explain away the empty tomb. They're vanished away. They don't hold water. There's nothing there to substantiate. Why was the tomb empty? It doesn't answer that question. And we all know why the tomb was empty. Because God the Father raised His only begotten Son from the dead on the third day, the Lord's Day. Remember what Jesus told the Sadducees? Yes, they were sad, you see, because they did not believe in the resurrection. In Mark 12:24, Jesus answering said unto them, "Do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God?" We better know the power of God, and we better know the Scriptures. That's right. Acts chapter 10, verse 40. Him God raised up the third day and showed Him openly. That's right. God the Father raised up Christ the third day and showed Him openly. He was seen by over 500 witnesses. And Paul, of course, the apostle out of due season. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul preached on Mars Hill, in verses 30 and 31, and the times of this ignorance God winked at. God winked at the times, not at sin. Now notice, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. Here it comes. Whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Yes, sir. And we better believe it and seek to do the will of God, no matter how many others fail to do so. Notice again, Matthew 28, verse 6, He is not here, for He is risen. And notice in Luke chapter 24, verse 6, He is not here, but He is risen. And notice verse 34, a verse we all should know, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." The Lord is risen indeed. Now that's the bottom line. So, what do we believe? The false theories of man or the Word of God? We all better answer the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth. Thy Word is truth. And we need to believe it. And not only believe it, but apply it to our lives, seeking out to do the will of God, to obey the gospel, and live faithfully, even if it means our very death, knowing that we'll have the victory. In John 5, 28 and 29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. It's one or the other. Now, are we ready for that hour to come? That's the question for every one of us to answer and be honest. Are we ready for the Lord's second coming, for the day of judgment? We shall stand before the Lord and give an account for how we've lived in this life, for the deeds done in the body, whether it be good or bad. Let's be sure that we're ready. If you have not obeyed the gospel, we stand ready to assist you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. We certainly are to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, John 8, 24. Now we're ready to repent, making a change of wills, and do the will of God, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Having repented of our sins and ready to go in a new direction, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Once we state, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God," we're now ready to be immersed, to be baptized, meaning I'm going to go under the water completely. It's a burial. I'm contacting the precious blood of Christ that he shed in his death, John 19. 33 and 34. Now, once I contact the precious blood of Christ under that watery grave, I arise out of the water to walk in newness of life. Study Romans 6, 3 through 6, as we're buried into the death of Christ. We're raised up to walk in newness of glory. And now we need to be faithful, adding the Christian graces, living in accordance to the New Testament pattern, serving God faithfully, and we'll have the victory. We're added to the body of Christ by the Lord himself, Acts 2:47. We need to remain faithful in the church of Christ that he purchased with his precious blood. We thank you so much for listening today.